Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It's Eddie Trunk, and it's time for another edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, podcast1.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcast. Thank you so much for checking out the show and subscribing and listening each and every week to the podcast. It is greatly appreciated, and hope you are all having a great week. And remember, the interviews you hear here on the Eddie Trunk Podcast, they originated on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation, which is heard live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S. and Canada on Sirius XM Channel 106 Volume. Nightly re-airs of the show, 10 to midnight Eastern. You're only getting a tiny sample here on the podcast of what I do on a daily basis on Sirius XM. If you're not already on board, please come and join me. There's also a sixth live Sirius XM show on Mondays, and that is on Channel 39. Of course, there's an FM syndicated show as well, and this podcast. So eight broadcasts a week, six live coming to you. Be sure to connect with them on a variety of different ways. And again, the interviews you hear originally aired on my radio show on Sirius XM Volume 106. Also, social media, of course, as usual, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, where I am most active. There is a fan page on Facebook, and there is the website, eddietrunk.com, which, in addition to having some stuff about me, also has a bunch of music news that is updated on a daily basis on artists and things you care about. So be sure to visit and get caught up and keep up with all your news happening in the world of rock on eddietrunk.com. This week, the interview is with two guests. Not separate interviews, though. They join me together. Doug Aldridge and Glenn Hughes. Now, why were they on together? Well, in case you have not heard, Doug and Glenn are now both in the same band. And that band is the Dead Daisies. And the Dead Daisies are an interesting story because they are a band that's been around for a long time now. And they've been, quite honestly, a revolving door. A lot of different people have been in and out of this band over the years, and probably 10, 15 years or so or more that they've existed. The constant in the band is a guy named Dave Lowy, who is the only one I've never interviewed or even met. I think everybody in the band I have interviewed and met. And I think most people know at this point that Dave Lowy is actually an extraordinarily wealthy real estate guy who put together the Dead Daisies a number of years ago as really a side thing from his main business, which is ownership and management of major shopping malls around the world. So he actually takes a very back seat to this, but has fun doing it as a hobby and brings in all these great musicians that he's had in this band over the years to play with him in it. But he's always in the shadows. He doesn't really do much of the press and just kind of like hangs in the back and plays rhythm guitar, but it's something he enjoys doing. And for the many musicians who have been in this band, it's a great thing for them because they're taken care of, and it's a steady gig, and it's a secure gig for as long as they want to do it. And a big change happened about a year or so ago when it was announced that John Corabi was leaving the band and Marco Mendoza was leaving the band. Marco had been there for a really long time, and they were going to be replaced by one guy, and that guy is Glenn Hughes, who, of course, plays bass and sings both brilliantly. Glenn coming into a band, I mean, it's going to have a big change in the sound because Glenn makes such a big noise in a good way through his playing, his writing, and that astonishing voice that you just don't bring Glenn Hughes in and it just blends in and sounds like what it was. It becomes really a very Glenn-sounding thing. And that's what's happened with Dead Daisies. I love this new record. It's maybe, and I mean this with all respect to the previous lineups of the band, because all the guys in it over the years have been friends, and I like and respect all the things they do. But this thing has come in, it turned into a whole nother monster, and it is ripping. So the record was made with Glenn Hughes, vocals and bass, Doug Aldridge remains on guitar, and Dave Lowy on second guitar. And then on the album, you had Dean Castronovo playing drums. However, after the album was recorded, Dean left the band, and it's been announced that he has been replaced by Tommy Clufetos, who everybody knows from his work with Black Sabbath and Ozzy, and had actually been in the Dead Daisies a while ago. So that's an interesting development, and Tommy's a powerhouse drummer, so him coming into this, I think, is going to drive it even more over the top. The album that they've made, their first with Glenn Hughes, is called Holy Ground. It's out now, and it's heavy, really heavy riffs, great singing, great playing. I really highly recommend this record. So check it out. It's from the Dead Daisies. It's their latest and their first with Glenn Hughes. It is available now, called Holy Ground. So in the conversation you're about to hear, both Glenn and Doug joined me together via Zoom, and we talked about how Glenn became a part of the Dead Daisies, Doug's longtime history with the Dead Daisies, and where this all goes, which, you know, everybody's in the same boat. You've heard it a million times, waiting to see when touring happens and they can get back out on the road and do some shows. But we talk about the record and how it came together, and it's a fun conversation with two guys that I've been a fan of both for a long time. Both are friends, and both are just fantastic musicians, and it's fun to see them doing some stuff together in this group. So without further ado, we will get it fired up for you on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Glenn Hughes and Doug Aldridge talking Dead Daisies and more coming up next.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, folks, are you paying out of your own pocket for gear you need to do your job? All kinds of departments across the nation, all those good folks, police, fire, EMS, medical workers on the front lines, even military units. You deal with constrained budgets, outdated gear, but there's still a job to do, and you need the right gear to do it. Hunting for military first responder discounts has historically required going from one website to another, creating multiple account logins just to make purchases, and jumping through various hoops to verify your service. Don't you wish there was just one place where you could visit that had a carefully crafted selection of deals for military first responders in one spot? Well, folks, we got that answer for you, because it is the place to go, and that place is, no doubt about it, what I'm about to tell you about, and that is GovX.com. GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best price possible, because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturers. Big general retailers, they don't care about you and your sacrifices as long as you're clicking on the add to the cart button. Not GovX. Got a huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands all in one convenient location. GovX honors your service and gives back to your communities. So if you're an American of service, a current or former member of the military, firefighters, frontline medical or law enforcement communities, or the emergency medical communities, join GovX for free and enjoy a community that honors and gives back to patriots like you. And if you got a military or a first responder background, you visit GovX.com, you sign up for free for instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. And check this out. Use the promo code TRUNK15, T-R-U-N-K 15. You get $15 off your first order of $50 or more. That's an amazing deal. Just use my code TRUNK, T-R-U-N-K 15. GovX.com, G-O-V-X.com.
What's up, guys? This is Max here, and I'm really excited to invite you to watch my Color Vision Deluxe Experience live concert on Live by Live this February. It's going to be brilliant. We're playing Blueberry Eyes, Lights Down Low, Love Me Less, all the songs off my album. I hope you can join us. Tickets at livexlive.com/max, and I'll see you February 27th, only on Live by Live.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, let's get to it. Glenn Hughes and Doug Aldridge together. Again, this originated on my SiriusXM radio show, Trunk Nation, heard daily, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Volume, Channel 106. Glenn and Doug join me via Zoom for this conversation about the Dead Daisies and more. Enjoy. Glenn sounds, if Glenn sounds winded, it's because he was literally, before we came on the air, running around his house, wrangling his dogs.
Three dogs. Yeah.
And Doug, you seem like you're in a much more serene environment. Welcome, Doug. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, bro. No, I'm actually I'm in a separate room from where the family is, so it's calm.
You're wrangling kids. Glenn is That's wrangling right. dogs. Everybody's wrangling something Always. these days. So congratulations on this record. It's fantastic. I with Thanks. All respect Thanks. To the past Dead Daisies records, this one may be my favorite. This is a crushing record. Doug, we'll start with you because you are the tenured guy in the Dead Daisies. You've been there the longest, haven't you?
I don't know, but it's been a while. It's good. It's like, I think it's my fifth year. So that's pretty good run.
Yeah, I think you've got the longest run of all the people who've been in the band over the years by far. You've been the guy. Glenn, you're the newest guy in the band, but obviously cast a huge shadow here, not only playing bass in the band, but also singing. Why did this make sense for you to get to be a part of this band now with all the other things you've done in your career?
Well, Ed, you recall I did the Deep Purple Classic Tour for 2.5 years. And around early 2019 at the NAMM show, I got the rumor going around that the Dead Daisies wanted to talk to me. And I spoke to the manager, and I spoke to David Lowie, et cetera, et cetera. I just thought at that time it would be good to switch gears for me, write some songs for the Daisies, work together with the Daisies. I've known Doug forever. I love Doug dearly. And we play so great together. I thought, let's give it a good go. Let's see what we can crack up here.
And Doug, didn't you go out with Glenn on? You did some solo dates with Glenn, right?
Yeah. About five. It was a little over 5 years ago. I was with Glenn. We did about 9 weeks, right? Total. We did yep. South America and Europe, and we had a blast. Some of the best.
We had a great time.
Some of the best jams I've ever been a part of.
Thank you, Doug.
With a trio, you can go off each other, and it was great.
My God.
But when I got in the beginning or the middle of 2019, management said, that they were talking about, they had been talking to Glenn. And what did I think? And I was like, dude, are you serious? That'd be amazing. That's like a totally fresh start, you know, and not taking anything away from before, but this is a good thing when you're going to change lead vocalist to make a fresh start. And I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. And they said, give Glenn a call. So I called Glenn. I go, is this for real? And he goes, Doug, it's time for you and I to make some records.
Yes.
Well, I mean, and yeah, that's a great way to put it, Doug, as far as fresh start, because prior to Glenn joining the band, John Corabi was there, and John's a friend and a fantastic musician as well.
Yeah, we
but obviously, him. He comes from a different, you know, he brings a different vibe. He's got a different vocal style. So in a lot of ways, this really is a whole fresh start. Did you view it like that, Glenn? Did you view coming into this as like a new chapter for this band with your arrival?
Yes, John's a dear friend of mine, and so is Marco. They're dear friends of mine. And, you know, I don't sound like John, but he's a bluesy singer. John's, I am too. I think the band wanted to create something different, but in the same, if I could say, classic rock genre or whatever you want to call it. They wanted to make a rock record. And brought some songs in and played them to Doug, and then Doug and I wrote some songs together, and we worked some songs out with the guys in France, and we had a bunch of songs, and everybody's now hearing it, and we're so happy with what we've got. So very happy.
This album, and yes, this is a rock record with a capital R, and maybe that's why I liked it so much, because this album is heavy. Like, the riffing in this record, the guitar, Doug's playing is obviously always incredible, but the riffs, and then Glenn, your voice, and you're playing over the top, and then, you know, you've got Dave and you've got Dean Castronovo on the record. We'll talk about that in a second, but, I mean, it's a crushing record. You know what, Glenn, you know what some of the stuff on here reminded me of a little bit? It reminded me of the Fused record that you did with Iommi.
You betcha, especially My Fate.
Yeah, yes.
It rubbed up on me a little bit, and I wanted to. The Daisies have never had a heavy riff like that, and I created a few riffs like that, and the guys seemed to like it, so we just marched on.
It was cool too, because you know Glenn was he basically let on the songs he brought in. We put our stamp all over it. You know, I mean, it's like it's pretty simple. To as a riff, but you got to keep it simple. You got to keep it heavy and dead simple.
I think
Glenn's right. It's definitely you're right. I think it's definitely a heavier approach.
You know, it wouldn't have been Holy Ground is just a step up, if you will, if I can say that, from the last record. And yeah, it's just a little different. It's just, it's a groovy album.
Doug, did you ever hear that album that Glenn did with Tony Iommi? Did you ever hear that album, Fused?
Only a few tracks, actually. I don't have it, but I've heard a couple things. But yeah, I can tell that, you know, Glenn's got a way of, on some of the songs that he wanted to present, I said to him, let's make a demo of it so you can present it properly. And he's showing me the guitar part. And I'm like, instead of you showing me the part, why don't you just play it? I'll just record you. And then we just kind of arranged it together. And then he's got a real British way of playing that I wanted to suss out before I replaced those guitars. You know, I wanted to figure it out. And it's like Tony.
Thank you, Doug.
So Glenn, did you play any guitars on the record or just bass?
I did not play guitar on this one, did I? No, I did a lot of demos. I was quite happy to sing and play bass. That's normal.
Can you talk a little bit, Doug, about writing with Glenn and how the songs came together? Now, it sounds like there's some that Glenn brought in on his own, but then some stuff you collaborated on. Is that the right way it went down?
Yeah, there was. Well, when Glenn became part of it, he said to me, he goes, I got a couple of songs that I've worked on for the Daisies in a band situation. And I said, that's great. Cause I've got a few things that I think you'll like. And then I specifically, once I knew who was going to be singing, I specifically wrote things for Glenn that was, you know, grooves, things that he liked and riff things. And I had, you know, I probably had a half dozen, you know, things that I presented to Glenn without pressing on it. What you got to do is you got to inspire your lead singer. So I presented things and we got around to all of them, and it worked out really well.
And Glenn, go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. I for me, I wanted less is more with the unspoken things, and like just real big, heavy four chords, open chords. You know, kind of early '70s British early '70s music generated some little groove here, and keep it simple and just get those hooks get those hooks going.
And Glenn, talk about the recording. Did you guys say you did it in France?
We did.
Why was that?
We were looking for, well, I think I was one of the guys that suggested, I'm the new guy. I didn't really know anybody but Doug. Wouldn't it be great if we actually be in a facility where we could actually live together, eat together, make some music together, you know, joke around and be a family. And it was a great idea to go to the south of France in November. Are you kidding me? And that studio is amazing. Have you seen footage of that studio, Eddie?
Is that some of the stuff that you had online where you did that compilation of stuff of the songs? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It was a perfect environment for us to gel together. You know, we really needed that. And instead of having to, you know, go to a hotel and then get in the car and go to the studio, we basically, our bedrooms were above the kitchen, and we'd come down, have breakfast, and go straight into the studio every day. And we really, it helped us really focus in on creating the record that we wanted, you know.
It was a song a day, Eddie. We would go into a little room in the morning, get the arrangement done. Then we would go have lunch, and after lunch, we would cut the track all together in the same room. No Pro Tools this time. For me, I wanted to be live, like I've been doing for so long. I wanted bass, drums, guitar, all playing at the same time, and it worked great.
Well, you know, that I think fans may be surprised to hear that that's actually a pretty rare and unique thing than the way you made this record.
Because
more and more people now, it's like, well, we weren't even in the same room. The fact that you guys went and did a record in a studio living together face to face in a room is actually really great to hear and actually kind of rare, isn't it?
It's great. It's truly great.
And it rubs off on the music, because when, you know, like, when you talk about those records where people do it like that, and I got to give credit to the Daisies, since I joined the band, we've always done it that way together and tracked it. So for example, if you're playing with Brian Tichy and you're playing and you're watching Brian and you're playing with him, you can see he's just about to let loose, and then you start letting loose and you play off each other. And it's the same with Glenn, you know, Glenn and Dean, you can't achieve that, those ups and downs and that feeling when you're playing off of you know, somebody else's track. You haven't played with them. You got to cut it together, in other words.
I completely agree.
Glenn, back in the day when you were coming up, whether it was Trapeze or Purple, I mean, all those old legendary massive studios, you must have had some incredible experiences. Does one stick out to you? Do you, of all the places you've recorded with all the artists you've recorded with, was there one studio that really like looms large in your history?
Yes.
That really made a mark on you?
Island Studios in London, you know, Traffic, Free, Hendrix, it's such a great studio. In my opinion, the greatest studio in London at the time. It was incredible, with Trapeze.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, again, the old studios, so many of them are no longer there. But
no,
it's great
exactly.
to hear some of them are starting to, you know, there is some business there for some of them, and bands like the Dead Daisies are working there. Let me ask you guys about the two people we haven't talked about that are members of this band. In the case of Dean Castronovo, who plays on the record, it was just recently announced he is not going to, whenever you are able to tour, continue with the band, and in comes Tommy Clufetos. What can you tell us about that?
Basically, I think Dean, you know, Dean was having a hard time with some back problems. We got together and played in October of last year. We played and he was struggling. He was having a hard time. And he just said, look, guys, I need to get this. I need to get some work done. And it's going to put me out of business for a little bit. I know you guys want to move fast and you've got plans to do things. And so he decided to do that.
Glenn, did you get to sing with him at all on the record? Because he's got a fantastic voice
as well. I did. He sang on a couple of things with me. I would have liked to have had Dean sing more. We have a great blend together. and you can hear it. It's such a shame that he's not with us. So we have to continue. And Tommy was the guy.
Tommy's an incredible player. I'm so excited to hear him and Glenn together. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that rhythm section. I mean, yeah, Tom, and I'm assuming with Sabbath retired and Ozzy, unfortunately, up in the air as far as what he'll be able to do, the timing was probably good for Tommy to get a gig like this, I would think.
I believe so. I'm happy to know that, yeah.
Have either of you guys played with him before?
I have not. I've met him a couple of times at Geezer's house. I've seen him play on YouTube, of course.
He's incredible. And I think, I haven't played with him, but I've watched him a lot, especially since him signing up. And it's something I think that it's such a small world that Glenn played with Tony and Tommy's played with Tony, and that feel is very important. Yeah. And Tommy's got it, man. It's just going to be. I think it's even going to be a step deeper, with Tommy.
I think it's going to be way heavier. With all due respect to Dean, I will love Tommy.
We love Dino.
Meat and potatoes. For me, it's I'm a Bonham fan, so I got to have the meat and potatoes behind me.
And let me ask you about, this is interesting now. I have had every time the Dead Daisies have put out a record or done something, I've had, I think, every version of the band on my radio show. And the only guy of all the times I've interviewed the band in person or whatever that I've not even ever met is the guy whose band it actually is, Dave Lowy. Now, we all know he has other business interests and he's a very successful guy in the business world. But
yes.
tell me a little bit, Glenn, being the new guy, what Dave brings to this beyond it being his thing. I mean, what's the relationship like for you with him and what are your thoughts about playing with him?
Well, we had dinner at the Sunset Marquee. He flew out to meet me in April 2019. We had a great dinner, talked about everything. And he asked me one question, but the most important, he said, are you ready to be in another band, a band? I said, yeah, I'm ready, but I got to be really honest with you. I got to be really happy. I got to know you. I got to be, mingle. I got to know the crew. I got to know the management. I got to feel part of it, So, and I have become that. So the most important thing for me is a camaraderie. Every band has to have great camaraderie. But I had a great, great conversation with David. He was very, very, very sweet. Good man. He's a really good man.
Doug, you played with him now for a while in the band. What does he bring to the table for you?
Well, he's got and I've said this before, I don't know if I said it to you, but he's got a very honest, simplistic style. He's like, he's a no frills player, but he's got a big sound. He definitely attacks the guitar, and he's just got a thing. Like I was saying about Glenn, everybody's got a different way they play. And he's kind of the common thread through the Daisies. So I noticed when we were doing this record, we'd cut the basic tracks, going mainly for the drums, and sometimes we'd keep the bass as well. And then the guitar, I was still kind of experimenting, and we weren't really going for guitar parts. But when I did start doing guitars on Glenn's bass and with the drums, it sounded kick ass. But it was definitely, he adds a sound the way he plays that goes against the way I play. It's not something that, all my heroes are British too, really. Pretty much, but it's something else. It's like something that I've kind of, that people blow past, but he's just got it.
It's a ragged sound. It's raw. It's stringy. And
how a punk band sometimes has like this edge to it, right? The Ramones sounded with that guitar. That's how David plays. And I don't play like that. So it definitely adds.
Yes, he does.
And again, I can't overstate this. I mean, I hadn't heard the full record until about a week ago. And I had some people call into this show and say to me, hey, have you heard this Dead Daisies record? And I said, because I'm a CD guy. I'm all about still wanting the CD. I like looking at the packaging. So I was waiting on the CD because I really want to hear it on my stereo. I don't want to listen to it on a computer or a stream. And I got the CD, and I was like, whoa, now I see what my audience is talking about, because this is, it's raw, it's heavy, the riffs, the songs, obviously the, you know, Glenn's voice speaks for itself. So it really just is a kick-ass record. And in the past, Glenn, you may not be aware of this because you're new to the band, but Doug certainly is. The band has done a lot of covers in the past. They've, mm-hmm. they've done albums of almost, you know, half covers. On this record, there's only one, and you did Humble Pie's 30 Days in the Hole. Talk about the decision to do that. I think it's a brilliant version. And actually, you have, I saw online, you've got an amazing, almost acoustic version of it online, yeah. on the website. Different yeah. than the version you recorded for the record. So, Glenn, talk mm-hmm. about tackling that.
When we showed up in France, all the songs are original, as you know, but there was one song that was a cover song, and I saw it on the list. I'm going, oh, Stevie Matt, good friend, you know, Steve. I mean, I miss him dearly. And I'm thinking, okay, we're gonna cut a Steve Marriott song. So it was like, for me, I'm very reverent to Steve as a dear friend, and I love him to pieces as a musician, as a singer, et cetera, et cetera. So we went about it a little bit different. We made it a heavier arrangement, and Dean and I sang it together. The acoustic version, which was done in my house here for video purposes, Doug came up with an idea of just doing something more gospel and one acoustic guitar. I love that particular version, Eddie. That acoustic guitar vocal thing. It was done right here in this room, live, and it was just a moment for me I'll never forget.
To answer another part of your question, Eddie, Glenn and I weren't thinking about covers. We, you know, in fact, even ever since I've been in the band, we've only done one or two covers on the first album I did, and then one cover on the second album. But they put out a covers album with a bunch of different versions from different eras of the band. But since Glenn was coming in, we were definitely not thinking anything about covers. And that was kind of like the same for me. I was like, well, what is that? Okay, we're going to give it a shot. And it turned out cool. It was good.
It did.
Hey, Glenn, you said you were friends and knew Steve Marriott. I mean, a guy that was just such a powerhouse and an influence on a lot of singers, a tremendous voice, obviously, gone far too early. What can you share with the audience who, I mean, I think here in America, people certainly know who Steve was and they know who Humble Pie was, but it wasn't a huge thing here to some people. What can you share about Steve, having known him and, I assume, seen him play? Have you saw him do his thing?
Well, you remember Steve was in the Small Faces in the mid-60s before you were born, Eddie.
Right.
And for me, it was a typical moment because I was a teenager. And he was a hero of mine in the Small Faces. And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets his band together with Frampton, Humble Pie, and it's like, oh, my God. And then you hear Live at the Fillmore. And I know Steve is a little tiny dude from London, Cockney, the East End of London. Just a crazy, magnificent fellow. And his voice was absolutely the most stunning vocal you've ever heard. And it was an honor to know him and work with him.
Yeah. As far as playing live, same boat, I imagine, as all the other bands in the world, waiting this out and seeing what is going to happen. Doug, do you have anything on the books now that you're shooting for?
We there's some stuff that's on the books in the summer. We're just not sure. We just got to wait. We probably won't know for another month or so if what's happening. But look, as soon as it's possible, we definitely want to get out there because we got this album now. It's out. And we want to, the best way to promote it is to play gigs, you know? So as soon as we possibly can, we will. I think.
Go on.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. Go on.
All right.
Go on.
I think that the numbers are starting to look a little bit better from what I see. And I'm hopeful that once people get, you know, the vaccine starts to kick in and people are still getting sick. They're not getting as sick as they were, but they're recovering. So eventually at some point, I feel like it's just going to, I'm hopeful
We've had some cancellations. We were supposed to start in Germany tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah. In Essen, Germany. And obviously that's been canceled. We were supposed to do something in England in April. That's gone. And, you know, we're supposed to do something in the Far East in the summer, and then festivals in the summer in Europe. We don't know about that right now. But we can say this, that we will be seeing all of the fans that want to see this band. As you know, Eddie, this band works tirelessly to go all over the place. And I'm anxious to get out there and do my business with the Dead Days. It's,
when we went in rehearsal, Eddie, these songs took on even a little more. It was even better for me than the album, because with the way we recorded it too was, you know, we cut the tracks, we laid down our parts, and then we didn't really hear how it was. We didn't hear the mix until it was done. And periodically, Ben Gross, the producer, who did a great job, not only with his production skills, but with his, you know, setting an environment for us to work. He would call me and go, "Hey, I need you for a couple hours, just or an hour, just to do some bits. Let's hit the verse on this song. Let's do the chorus. I got this Marshall that I want you to play through on this chorus." And I would just do it. And when it came back mixed, it was like, "Whoa, that's yeah. really cool." But it made a feature of certain other parts. So we got in rehearsal and it was just super yeah. fresh. It wasn't like, you know, it's going to be better.
No, these songs are, live. You know me, I like to write and record songs and play them live. And this album needs to be played live. These songs are magnificent live. I had a great feeling when we started doing pre-production. These songs could be amazing in a live show.
And Doug, you having been in this band for a little while, I mean, Glenn, you haven't done a live show with the band yet, I imagine, right?
No.
So you haven't been able to play live with them after making the record yet. But Doug, you've been in the band, as you said, for about 5 years or so. Dead Daisies are a band that actually does tour a lot globally. Like, you do work the world, don't you? You've probably built some audience now around the globe pretty consistently, I would think.
Yeah, we definitely worked a lot. I think that, you know, I think with this album, we've got a different production in mind that is really exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be bigger. So it's potentially going to mean that we can't travel and do quite as many shows because of the production situation. But yeah, like Glenn said, we're just excited to get something on the plate, something booked and actually get our feet yeah. wet. You know, we play great together already. And I know with Tommy, it's going to, you know, I can't wait. But we're going to see what happens.
And Glenn, I would imagine, I mean, needless to say, you've spent your entire life touring the globe with, you know, so yeah. many incredible bands, and obviously just your history with Purple alone and all the places you went. That's going to bring, I would think, a whole new element. Your arrival as the singer and frontman in Dead Daisies and being a member of this band now, I would think you're going to see some, Doug, you're probably going to see some people coming out to these shows because you've got Glenn there and he's Glenn. You know, I think
absolutely.
You know, that's going to be a big boost to the band, I would think.
I can't state enough how much Glenn brings to what he's doing, because everyone talks about his singing, but his bass playing is ferocious. When you listen to the record, the way that he writes these lyrics, I'm a guitar player, I listen to the music, I don't really listen to lyrics that much, but Glenn's lyrics are stunning. They're beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
So, well, you know, it's gonna be a different thing. I think the two together is gonna be awesome.
Well, I mentioned this, you talk about Glenn's bass playing, and Glenn, when you were on one of the times promoting Black Country Communion, Kevin Charlie had said this, that your voice gets so much attention that sometimes your bass playing gets overlooked. And I mentioned to my audience that Joe Satriani had you play on yes. a record he made a few years ago. And I had Satch on this show to promote it. And I said, "Wait a minute, you have Glenn playing bass, but you didn't have him at least sing one song." And Joe goes, "Yeah, no. That's exactly why I didn't." He goes, "'Cause he's such a great bass player." Does it frustrate
so sweet.
You? Does it frustrate you that at times maybe your bass playing gets a little overlooked by that voice you're blessed with?
A little bit. Primarily, I am the singer. Everybody knows that. But that bass thing I do is like, it's part of my body. It's like, it's there. I just feel so good playing bass and singing. You know, hey, I used to play guitar and sang, but when I turned to bass guitar, I knew I'd found my niche.
When I toured with Glenn, I would listen to him doing sound check. It would be Pontus, his drummer would come out and do, you know, check. And then it would be time to get bass on, and Glenn's guy would just hand him Glenn would just kind of gingerly walk out and get this bass on. All of a sudden it was like that bass sound is just like a sound. It's got a life of its own.
Thanks to Orange amplifiers.
It needs its own area code, that bass sound. So then I was like, we don't even need guitar. That with the vocal and the drums, it's like, what am I going to do? You know? So it was really cool because the bass is definitely featured on Holy Ground. And, but then we started doing some like playthroughs where Glenn would, we'd all play through and show on for, you know, for like YouTube, show how we played the parts or whatever. And I would get Glenn a mix without the bass. And then we would film him playing with the bass way up loud and with some nice, you know, his amp tone on it. And it was so cool because he just plays something. It's different every time, but they're all great. You know, it's really
every time is different. I promise you that.
Play well, it's the heart, killer. That's what's important.
It's come through. I'll tell you, I am genuinely excited to have the chance to see you guys do this live because the album's great. I'm sure you're going to put in Glenn. You're going to throw a few. You're going to throw a few Glenn nuggets in there. Maybe a purple tune or something.
Yeah, we are, Eddie. I think you know. Yeah, the band want to do that, and I think it'll be a nice gift to the audience because they're obviously for songs that everybody knows. So it'll be a nice interchange.
Yeah, for sure. And before I let you guys go, you all have things you do outside of the band. I know, Doug, you have Burning Rain that you've done.
Talk about what else you have going on, Doug. Zippo. Me and Glenn are basically totally dedicated to seeing this album get promoted. Burning Rain's, you know, that's always on the side, and it's been a thing in my life for 20 years, but no more projects, no more things like that. Maybe an odd session here or there, but right now it's all about this album.
Me too, Eddie. It's the same thing. I want to be in this band and tour this album, and that's my priority. That's it. Yeah, I get a chance to work with my friends from time to time, but the Dead Daisies for me right now in my life is all I really need to promote this piece of work. So very, very happy to indulge you all in this epic adventure.
Yeah, well, I understand you feeling that way given the quality of the record. I mean, it is a really exciting record, and it's a killer record, and I cannot wait to hear you guys tear it up live with this album, whatever else you decide to put in the set. Let's hope that we get through this godforsaken pandemic coming up on a year already, and we can see you and all the other bands out there doing your thing and look forward to it, hopefully sooner than later.
Thank you, Eddie.
Guys, great to see you.
Yeah, I want to say hey, everybody. Thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for being there for us. We really need you to know how much we appreciate that. And we'll see you soon, wherever you may be. Peace, love, and happiness.
And how the hell does Glenn Hughes still look and sound as good as he does at his age? Doug, can you tell me? Has he given you the secret now that you're in a room with him?
Yeah, I already knew the secret because Glenn is tuned in spiritually to a higher source, and he definitely channels it all the time. And it's like it's always there whenever you know, Glenn really well. And he, like when we were writing and stuff, we would just say, hey, you know, we got this, here's this part, but we don't really have any, could this be a chorus? Glenn just hits a chord. How about this? It's like, cool, done. It's like, where'd that come from? He goes, I don't know. It happens.
From years and years and years of doing it, I guess. I'm just very, very, very lucky and fortunate.
Well, whatever that is, beam some of it over here to New Jersey for me right now because I need a little
you
bit.
You have it. It's all yours, young man. It's all yours.
Eddie,
love
thank you
guys.
So much
great to see
love
you.
You too.
Thank you
Peace
so much
love.
For all you do, Eddie. We really, really appreciate you.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
And like I told you a year ago when this thing started, listening to you helped me get through, because it was like so nerve wracking, you know, all this stuff that was happening. And you just kept on going. Once you got your show back, you kept on going. It was great.
Yeah.
But I've heard that from a lot of people, and you know, it seems very trivial because there's so many more important things going on in the world that people have been dealing with for the last year. But I can't tell you how many people I've heard from like that, Doug, and it means a lot to me, whether people were sick or just locked up and in quarantine, saying, hey, you know what? Having a couple hours just to hear somebody ranting and raving about rock music and staying out of all the other stuff and just staying in the lane and getting an escape was really important to them. So that really means a lot to me. So thank you.
Absolutely,
man.
You're a man.
Thanks, Eddie. Right, appreciate it,
well,
man.
Well, thank you. Hope to see you soon. And as soon as they allow travel again, I'm going to get out there to L.A. and do some shows.
Come on.
So we'll have you all come in the studio, and we'll maybe we can set something up in our new studio in L.A. when we're able to have you guys play in that brand new beautiful space.
We'd love to.
That would be killer. I'm going to talk to the powers that be about that. Hopefully, once L.A. gets rolling again, we can do that. So, all right, you guys, best to your
Sounds
families.
Good. Thank you, Eddie.
And
thank you so much for the time.
Eddie. All right,
peace
thanks. Well, I'm telling you, that album is really killer. Holy Ground, it's out now from the Dead Daisies. Thanks to Glenn Hughes and Doug Aldridge for joining me. Much appreciated. And check out Holy Ground. Pick it up wherever you get your music. And fingers crossed, those guys will get out to be able to do some live shows soon, because I'd love to hear that record played live. It's pretty ass-kicking stuff. If you heard the record, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, be sure to follow on Twitter and Instagram at Eddie Trunk. EddieTrunk.com is the website. Fan page on Facebook, also at Eddie Trunk. Listen every day on volume, Sirius XM Channel 106, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, live for Rock Talk and interviews. Thanks to Katie Irizarry, the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. Thank you for listening. Please spread the word, subscribe, check it out each and every week. New episodes on Thursdays. Have a good week, everybody. See you next week for another episode.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.